We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The Yankees are up in Boston. The Mets are taking on the Philadelphia Phillies at Citi Field. The Yankees lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by 1800 Tequila, the world's most awarded tequila family. Craig is off. Joe B. sitting in. Your Yankee lineup tonight features DJ LeMahieu, who's been red hot for like a month now. DJ LeMahieu has a higher WAR than Pete Alonso.
Oh, stop.
He leads up.
It's just true.
No, it's so ridiculous.
He does. I know.
Well, so does, what's his name? Jerickson Profar.
I mean, what?
Come on.
Big Mac, you've watched DJ all year, and DJ has been very hot as of late.
Yeah.
Okay? Has DJ LeMahieu had a better year than Pete Alonso?
Of course not.
Okay. No. Good. See? He's an ordinary Yankee fan.
I mean, no, Chris is fair.
Fair guy. Aaron Judge is in right field. Rizzo at first base. Donaldson cleaning up. Glaber's the DH. Benintendi is returned back to Boston and left.
Mm.
Trevino, IKF.
Does he get a video tribute?
Aaron Hicks. I bet he does.
He was on that championship team, right? In 18?
Yeah.
He was with Kansas City, so I'm sure he's already been
back. That's true.
Assuming he's been back, and I don't know if he has. I assume he has, but I don't know for sure. He definitely would be worthy of a video tribute.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
The video tribute thing is weird. Like, the Islanders gave one to John Tavares on a night in which they knew he was public enemy number one. But what warrants a video tribute? Like, I could tell you right now, when Kevin Durant comes back as a Boston Celtic, I'm not giving him a video tribute.
That's a joke if they did
that. I'm not doing that. When James Harden comes back as a Philadelphia 76er, I ain't giving him a video tribute, but I do think the Sixers should give one to Ben Simmons. He did a lot for that organization.
He really has. So they got rid of him.
Hey, they
ben
hate him
Simmons.
Down there, man. Well, I mean,
the guy don't play.
No, he still hasn't played a game yet for the Nets.
Unbelievable.
Let's go to Phil in Clifton, New Jersey. What's
Phil,
up, Phil?
How are you, Phil?
How are you guys doing? And Joe, great to hear your voice, pal.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
I got to direct this to Evan, because normally, Evan, I'll preface my remarks. You are one of the few young talk show hosts who make sense when you talk. Now,
thanks.
You made an idiotic statement earlier.
What was the statement?
I'll tell you why it's idiotic. You said Andrew Jones is the greatest defensive center fielder. No knock on Willie Mays. Question one, did you ever see Willie Mays
play? No. So you're going to take me out of context, and I'll fix it before you get angry. Here's what I said. Andrew Jones is the greatest defensive center fielder I've ever seen. That's what I said. And then here's why I referenced Willie Mays. I said, I can't imagine someone being that much better. So my point is, I thought Andrew played the position so brilliantly that I can't imagine a human being better than what I saw Andrew do. I would knock or even critique a guy's defense who I never saw play.
Right.
That's why I referred to Willie as a guy who I know everyone talks about as great defensively. But if I've seen something that I look at and say, this is like Picasso, how could it get better? That's my point.
Let me say this, Phil, because I know where you're going here. There's a lot of great, the three greatest defensive center fielders that, and I've seen them all. You know, I go back to 1960, 61. Willie, Junior Griffey, and Andrew Jones. Now, with that said, that's factoring in offense because there's been some guys like Paul Blair, like Gary Maddox going back to the days with Philadelphia, like Devin White. I mean, there's been some pretty damn good defensive center fielders, but they didn't hit like those guys. You know what I mean?
Number one, I agree with that. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about Willie. I passed my 70th birthday quite a few years ago, okay?
Really? Well, you sound like a young guy.
Well,
how did you deal? Can I ask you a question? I got a year. I'm only going to be 69 next month. But how did you deal with 70? Was it difficult to deal with 70?
Psychologically, it hit me when I was 60. 70 is very depressing, but now I just live with it. Now,
okay. I'm getting ready for depression.
Okay.
I know.
Okay. Andrew Jones, Evan, never made a play or a catch like Willie Mays ever did. Number one.
You're talking about in the big moment, the World Series again?
The Vic Wertz catch in 1954.
Here's why. No, let me tell you why. Andrew Jones never was 460 feet from home plate looking straight up in the air.
Of course, but that's not a penalty on Andrew Jones.
Time out. No. I'm saying what Willie Mays did do and what Andrew Jones didn't. Okay?
Yeah, but Andrew Jones couldn't do that. Like, that's not fair.
That's right. Listen to me.
But I'm responding.
You're filibustering me.
No, I'm not. I'm responding to you.
Aren't they trying to get rid of that?
Part of being a great defensive outfielder is a throwing arm. Andrew Jones never made a throw that Mays made. Mays caught that ball. He was over 300 feet.
Yeah, but Phil. I never knocked Willie Mays, okay? What I said was Andrew Jones did things that were so incredible that it's tough to imagine someone being able to do more. Now, your response is, hey, the Polo Grounds had a ridiculously deep center field.
Which it was.
100%. I can't penalize Andrew Jones because he didn't play at the Polo Grounds.
Right. No, you're right.
I can't do that.
Look, you can only go with the guys you saw play. I mean, you know, look, I didn't see Lou Gehrig play, okay? So, I mean, was he the greatest first baseman of all time? Probably. I didn't see him. Babe Ruth's the greatest player that ever lived, but I didn't see him play. You know, the greatest player I ever lived in my lifetime is Barry Bonds. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, it is, okay?
No, absolutely.
Now, he wasn't the greatest all-around player. I won't say that. I don't think, you know, he wasn't on a defensive level as, you know, Willie Mays certainly was, you know, right? I mean, he wasn't.
No doubt.
But as far offensively, in his early years.
I'll give you a comparison.
When he was in Pittsburgh, he was pretty
good. No doubt. I'll give you a comparison that our last caller will fully understand. Hey, Joe, who's the greatest pitcher you've ever seen?
Sandy.
Sandy Koufax.
Right.
Okay. He was. You know, I never saw Sandy Koufax throw 390 innings in a season. But I heard Christy Mathewson did that.
Right.
Now, that's a knock. I'm knocking. I'm saying Sandy Koufax never threw 390 innings. Oh, big tough guy. Ooh, he threw a lot of innings. Never threw through 90. Now, if I say that out loud, which I just did, everybody over the age of 65 would say, I can't believe Evan said that. I'm using the equivalent, I'm going back further.
Look, Cy Young won 511 games. Yeah, how is that possible?
Right. So, is it fair to hold Sandy Koufax to the standard of Christy Mathewson? No, it's asinine. So why would you do that with someone from the 90s? Just because it's your era doesn't make it better. Right. Just like Christy Mathewson did things.
You can only go with the guys you saw. That's why I always preface anything I say with in my lifetime.
Right.
You know what I mean? I had to have seen the guy play and not just, you know, the first game I ever saw was 1960. My uncle took me to a Yankee Red Sox doubleheader. I actually saw Ted Williams play the last year of his career. Now, do I remember this? I remember being there.
Right.
But, I mean, do I remember anything about those two games? I really don't. I was 7 years old. You know, I knew that he was telling me, oh, this great. He's pointing out this guy, left field, the great Ted Williams. But I can't count Ted Williams as one of the guys I saw play. That's not fair.
And especially,
you know what I mean?
I do, especially with defense, because I really think the only way you could judge defense is by watching.
Yes.
Like, we do have the ability to see stats. And even though that's not perfect, you could at least see, okay, this is what a guy did. What a guy hit.
My all-time team would have a very heavy defensive presence.
Mm-hmm.
Very heavy defensive presence.
Right, right.
Not necessarily the best, you know, guy all-time at the position maybe that I saw.
Right.
But I factor defense into it.
No, I get you.
You know what I mean?
And where would you put Andrew Jones at? I think you said it, Mays, Griffey, and Andrew Jones. Three greatest defensive center
Willie's
fielders.
Willie's my center fielder.
I got you.
I have to put Willie in.
Sure.
My outfield would be, okay? And I preface this by saying I need a designated hitter, too, okay?
Right.
But I wouldn't go with a guy that was just a designated
hitter. You just pick the best bat who didn't have a position.
Right. I can't look at, because then I would have to say, okay, well, Edgar Martinez or Big Poppy, right? I mean, probably one of those two guys. As far as DH.
Frank Thomas, maybe.
Frank
He's spent so much time another, of his
right,
career as
too.
DH. Yeah.
Okay, that's not right. Another guy, right? But my outfield would be Bonds, Mays, and Clemente. Mm. That's my outfield.
No, I got
you. How could you leave Henry Aaron out? Well, I mean, because Clemente was a better defensive player.
Right.
And maybe not the power hitter that Aaron was, but he was every bit the hitter that Aaron was.
No, I get you.
So that's how I would look at that.
No, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. It boggles my mind.
Those are the guys.
That Andrew Jones, who we all admit is a great defensive player, put up he had 434 home runs.
Yeah, and he had 50 one year.
Yeah, he did. 51
he should be a Hall of Famer. Andrew Jones should be a Hall of Famer.
It's crazy.
Why he's not a Hall of Famer, I don't know the answer
And don't
to that.
Think of his defense like when he was with the Yankees at the end of his career.
No, at that point,
he wasn't Andrew Jones.
He played with the Braves.
Right, of course. You think of him in his mid-20s, 19 years old, hitting home runs against the Yankees in the World Series in 1996. Jay in Franklin Park, New Jersey. What's up, Jay?
Jay, how are you?
Guys, Joe, it's so good to hear you. It's a breath of fresh air. I can't take my ears off the radio. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Jay.
So I want to go back to the conversation about signing Jake. I think we as Mets fans are stuck in the mode of if we pay one guy a lot of money, that's the only person we can pay for. And now I'll preface what I'm going to say with this. If we can't sign other guys because we had to sign Jacob deGrom for a you-know-what amount of money, then I think you have to think about it. But if Uncle Steve is going to say, I'm going to have Jacob deGrom and it's not going to impact anybody else I'm going to sign, then it's not a question. I feel like we get caught up in the money. Mm-hmm. And so you tell me, Joe, if Steve Cohen said to you, Joe, I'm going to sign Jacob deGrom for whatever he wants so he doesn't leave, but that won't impact one iota the other people we signed to our team, would that be a given to you that we would sign Jacob deGrom in that case?
Well, look, I mean, I want everybody back, to be honest with you. I do. I mean, I want everybody back from this team because I think this team, if they don't win the title this year, has a great chance to do it next year. I want Nimmo back. You know, I'm a little leery about Diaz because I do think there's an element that Diaz is never going to be as good as he is right now.
Yeah, I think you have to.
I'm a little worried about that.
If you sign Edwin Diaz, which I think the Mets should very much aggressively try to do, and I totally get the question, Jay, which is if there's no budget, who the hell cares?
Yeah,
bring everybody back.
Go sell the Da Vinci and let's go get rid of the Mona Lisa. Steve, sell the freaking Mona Lisa. You'll get maybe $100 million for it, and there you go.
I think you have to go in knowing to a contract, hey, this is how
does
it can go
bad. Does
he
have the Mona Lisa, Steve?
He probably does. He has whatever the hell he wants.
You ever get Steve on?
I've never talked to Steve Cohen. Never had him on.
You tried to get him on.
We've tried. Hasn't done it.
He should come on.
Why not? We love him. I love Steve Cohen.
Of course.
But I think you have to go into a contract knowing, hey, this is how it can be a failure. And you have to accept that. Like, yes, Edwin Diaz is probably never going to have this season he just had.
Never.
But I would still go in and offer him 4 years, $95 million, because I think you have to.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think you do.
And I think
I wouldn't be concerned about that this is the best we're ever going to see in this guy.
No question. And I think it's the same concern I'd have paying Jake. Like, I know there's a chance he's going to get hurt. I think you have to run into that risk.
Look,
the Mets gave Max Scherzer a three-year contract for age 38, 39, and 40. Don't we all understand that year one is amazing, but year two and year three may not be amazing?
That's why really it's really imperative they win the World Series.
Of course.
They really need to. You know, really, seriously, if this team... You know, even gets to the World Series and doesn't win, I you know what? It's a disappointment. I'm sorry.
100%.
You know, I'm not going to say, well, you know, look, it was still a very good year. I get that. But this team is, they need to win. This is a win now
team. Based on the veterans and the guys having career seasons, I completely agree with you. But to take it a step further, in 2015, a young, on-the-rise team, right, with this young rotation, even I felt that way once they got to the World Series. You got to win. It's great that they surprised everybody.
I think the Royals were better that year. Yeah. Plus, they had won the series the year before. The series the year before. But they were a better
team. They were better. The Mets had game one won.
No, they did.
They were
just
up
like they
in
had
the
it against the Yankees, too.
Exactly like the Yankees. Everything about that series was like the
Very
Yankees.
Very similar.
Minus a steroided-up freak throwing a bat at our best player.
And still should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
The steroided-up freak should still be in the Hall of Fame as much as I can't stand
Of course. That's the only difference between the two World Series. So to me as a Met fan, of course they got to win the World Series. Look, the thing about this team that makes them better than everybody else, or at least potentially better than everybody else, is Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. Everything else about this team is really good, but so are the Dodgers, so are the Astros, so are the Yankees.
Right.
The one thing the Mets have that nobody can match, if they're healthy, is deGrom and Scherzer. And you could throw Diaz in now there, too.
Right. Yeah.
Because no offense to any of these relievers, for Craig Kimbrell or what's his name in Houston? Ryan Presley.
Josh Hader.
Clay Holmes.
Yes, you traded Josh Hader.
I know, San Diego now. None of these guys are even close to Edwin Diaz right now.
No.
That's what makes the Mets different, and those guys are 38. One guy's been hurt all the time, and the other guy, as you just admitted in Diaz, is having a career season.
Career.
So, of course, they have to win the World Series. You think all this is going to be there next year and the year after?
It will be a major disappointment if the Mets don't win it this year.
Of course. Of course.
Major.
Dude, I don't even think it's a question.
Yep. Major.
Is this season a disappointment? Of course it is. Are you kidding me?
They need to win it. I mean, they need this is This is the best team since 86. They need to do what the 86 team did without the drama.
No doubt.
The drama in 86, I don't know if I could take it. I don't know if I'll survive.
Yeah, just sweep everybody. That's all I want.
Right.
And look, I've learned this lesson so the hard way. And that's the idea of, oh, don't worry, we'll be back.
Yeah,
How'd that work out in 15?
We know all too well, bro.
And the ultimate I got from that was this net disaster. That's the ultimate. The ultimate will be back.
But bro, the 86 team. I thought we were winning a couple.
But you got one at least.
We did, but I thought they were winning a couple.
No, I get
you. And it didn't happen.
Of course not. Like, the only time I ever really remember, oh my God, we got back, was the Jets when they were in the AFC Championship game in 2010.
And they still didn't get to the Super Bowl.
And then when they lost that game in Pittsburgh, we knew.
We knew that was it for a while.
We knew.
We did.
I didn't think it'd be a decade, but I thought, okay, this is going to be a while.
Maybe you thought it would be more.
Still maybe.
Oh my God.
Still maybe. 877-337-6666. Thank you to Bath Fitter. They came over to my house a couple months ago, and they put in a brand new bathroom for me and my family. My kids love it. My wife loves it. And that's really all that matters. As long as she's happy and the kids are happy, I'm good.
Happy wife, happy life.
That's it.
Amen.
That's one of the early lessons. One of the first things
Tommy?
Joe said to
Amen.
Jet when you met him a year and a half ago.
That's right.
Is you said, listen, Jet, let me teach you a lesson. Teach you a lesson. If your mom's happy,
that's it.
It's all good.
You're right. That's it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Back on July 23rd, Giancarlo Stanton played a game for the New York Yankees. He hasn't played since. Aaron Boone, it's been how many days now? Today's August 12th, so it's been 9 plus. It's been 3 weeks. We're at the 3-week mark, and Aaron Boone has said still no timetable on Giancarlo Stanton. He has not progressed enough to start running the bases. So, look, it's not concerning in terms of the standings, and you certainly hope he's going to be back in time for the playoffs. It's still only August 12th, but it is a little concerning that here we are on August 12th, 3 weeks later, and where the hell are we with Giancarlo Stanton?
He's always hurt.
That's the biggest thing you worried about with him
always
and Judge.
Hurt. Yep.
And the problem with Stanton, too, is sometimes when he gets back, it takes a week, two weeks to get his swing going.
That's the thing. That's why it's not as simple as, oh, he'll be back in September. Well,
right.
He's got to come back and then get his bat going in September.
Yeah. No, you're right.
You got to get this guy rolling. And he was having a really strange season.
Very good year. He was having a good year.
He was hitting .228. But he had 24 home runs.
Yep.
He had a good OPS.
Yep.
He had that great moment at the All-Star game. And then came out of the All-Star game looking doggish. I don't mean that as a knock on him. Maybe that's not the right word.
Sluggish.
Yeah,
don't say dog. Dog is one thing. Sluggish is
another. Doggish isn't right because it's not a knock on him. He just wasn't playing well.
Right.
I'm not blaming anybody. And then Boone started sitting him a lot, if you remember. Sat him in the Houston game, one of the doubleheader games. Sat him again. And then he reveals, oh, yeah, there's something wrong with him. And now here we are 3 weeks later. And what was the update, Big Mac? Baseball activities, but he's not running.
Baseball activities today, which will not include running the bases. He's not there yet.
Well, when's he going to be there?
I have no idea.
I mean, when the hell is he going to be there running the bases? And you start to say to yourself, all right, well, what point do I need him back so he gets enough at-bats to be ready and to be Stanton
and then
October?
Is he just the DH? Because he's played a ton of outfield. And if he's just the DH, limits the options you can do in the outfield.
Yes. It hurts them a little bit if he's just a DH. And
especially if Carpenter comes back.
What did I say? Six to eight? What is it? 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Pretty much.
For Carpenter, it's 4 to 6. But Boone said the other day that they're going to know in about 2 weeks when they do some more re-imaging to see how the bone is healing.
And then
they'll have an idea of when Carpenter's back. But you run into the same problem with Matt Carpenter, which is, okay, he comes back October 1st. He's got to get his bat going. This isn't a video game where you just stick the guy in the lineup and he's great. Like, they have to get some at-bats. And let's not forget this about Stanton. If you go back to the one wild card game, which I know is nothing, and then the 2020 ALDS, dude, he was hitting the cover off the ball.
Yeah, no, he was.
Like, he was actually becoming, like, this great postseason player.
He had 7 home runs in the series against Cleveland, Tampa, and the home run he hit against Boston. So he was really blossoming into this big-time postseason player, and he changes the dimension of the Yankee lineup.
Oh, completely.
It just does.
Completely.
And carried them down the stretch last year. I know no one wants to remember that ugly season, but grand slams against the Red Sox. I mean, they were floundering.
No doubt.
And he put them on their back.
No doubt. Because right now, like,
they certainly missed
them on his back.
They
There's
do.
No question.
Dude,
about
all you got to do
no
is
question.
Look at this Yankee lineup tonight. Aaron Judge
is a presence. You know, even if he's not hitting, he's a presence in a lineup.
Absolutely. Because right now, their cleanup hitter is Josh Donaldson. I mean, the bringer of rain isn't exactly bringing all the rain. Mm. Gleyber Torres is batting fifth. Like, it's not. This lineup doesn't scare you outside of Aaron Judge. And Stanton being
Rizzo.
Back changes that. Rizzo does a little bit.
Yeah, Rizzo.
He's had a good year.
Yeah.
He's missed a bunch of days. He finally came back 2 days ago, took an 0-for-4, but he's back in the lineup now with the back issue. But they do need Stanton back for the postseason run. But the update remains the same. No timetable on Giancarlo Stanton. So we'll see. You want the Met lineup, by the way?
Yes, I do. Actually, of course.
They're going with the lefty lineup against Rangers, or the righty lineup against Ranger Suarez, the lefty.
Right.
Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso. Darren Ruff is DHing.
Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, Darren Ruff. Go ahead.
Mark Canna.
Right.
Jeff McNeil at second. Eduardo Escobar at third. And Tomas Nito behind the plate.
Okay, good.
So this is your kind of platoon lineup. Canna usually plays against the lefties, even though he doesn't
actually, it's righties a lot better.
I know. But you're not playing Tyler Naquin against lefties.
No.
And Escobar has been better as a right-hand hitter.
Yes, no question.
So you get Escobar in the lineup at third base.
And Nito playing instead of the worst player on a team, James McKay.
I know. That should be most nights Tomas Nito should play.
Most nights.
Charles is out on Long Island. What's up, Charles?
Charles, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Great to hear you back together again, Joe. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
And it's great to hear some sanity about the Jets and some reality about the Jets. Evan, you mentioned that video of Zach Wilson throwing a pass in practice. Like, who cares about practice? Like Allen Iverson.
Practice.
About practice.
Right.
Nobody cares about
That's
practice.
That's right. That's right.
But, Joe, I have a question specifically for you, and I guess also for Evan. You're both Jet fans, obviously. You mentioned you're predicting 7 wins. You wrong. If I tell you right now that at the end of the season we have 7 wins, Zach Wilson shows that he is a real quarterback. Everyone else is progressing the right way. Salah shows that he's a real coach. We're in every game, but we only win 7 of them. Aren't we happy?
No. No. No, I'm not happy, especially if you're going to tell me you're going to be in every game, so we're going to play all these close games and not win? No, I'm not happy.
No,
because they haven't won. Bro, they've been brutal. It's over 10 years that they've even been to the playoffs, this franchise. I'm tired of it.
I understand that, but we can't be greedy as Jets fans.
But we have to start. But at some point, as Jet fans, we have to. And I don't drink the Kool-Aid, but I think too many Jet fans do. They accept the Jets accept mediocrity. It's accepted by this franchise. But 7-10 is mediocrity.
I'm not talking about mediocrity. I'm talking about starting a process and building a process. Because the other way is, turns out Wilson is not a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They stink. Stala's not a good coach. And then we're starting all over again. So this whole franchise needs to start with baby steps.
But you know what? But you say that. But why can't they turn it around and be a winning team this year? I don't want the process has been going on for 54 years.
But it's been a bad process and bad GMs and bad.
And I don't know that this coach is any good. I don't. Right. I don't particularly love Salah, to be honest with you. I hope I'm wrong about him too. I don't love him.
So you wouldn't be happy with 7-8 wins and knowing that you're on the right path. And the following year, then you say, "All right, playoffs," and then go from.
You know what though, Charles? I think for you, Joe. Tell me if I'm wrong here. The way they get to 7 or 8 wins matters.
But I can't deal again. With them being at you, especially if they're going to be in games and not win close games.
Right.
I'm tired of watching this team blow games, all right? And I'm not talking about, you know, the beatdowns they had last year. But, like, the game against Tampa, to me, is a typical Jet loss, you know? They win in a game.
They should have won the game.
They should have won the game.
Yeah.
And then they find a way, as always, to lose the game.
Right.
And I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of the process. It's time to win. It's time to show. Give me a reason to believe with this team. And 7-10 is not doing it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think that how you get to that number matters. Like,
If you look at the
look, if they lost their first five games.
Right.
And then they made a run after that.
Right.
And they go, what would that be, 7-4 the rest of the way?
You'd feel good about it.
I don't think it'd be 7-4. I guess it would be still 7-6.
Whatever the math adds up to, if they started 0-5,
right,
which, by the way, isn't the craziest thing in the world considering they're playing the Ravens, Browns, right, Bengals, Steelers, Dolphins, Packers, Broncos to start the year.
No.
Like, I don't know how that season starts. I mean, that's a gauntlet.
Yeah, I mean, they got a chance to, like, be 0-7.
Of course they do.
And I'm not, and 0-7, it's unacceptable. Now, again, I'm going to go back to this. Beat the Baltimore Ravens opening day. Go out there, win the damn game. And then go to Cleveland against a team that doesn't have their quarterback and win that game, too. And then let's go for
that. Well, if they're 2-0, I think our view on this team will be very positive.
Well,
but I don't know if that's going to happen. Like, when you look at the first 9 games of the season, realistically, if they survived it at 3-6, that's actually not the worst thing in the world. Now, does that mean they're going to beat up the Bears and the Lions and the Jaguars and the Seahawks and all the mediocre and crap?
They could lose to anybody.
Well, no, they got to beat those teams.
You know what I want to see? I don't know how the offense is going to be this year. I expect this defense to be dramatically better.
Well, how can it not be?
Well,
the defense sucked last year.
No, it was horrible.
Abysmal.
But I mean dramatically better to where it becomes the kind of defense that, you know, can win games for you when the offense isn't getting it done.
I'll tell you, last year.
That's what I need to start seeing with this
team. Last year,
and
I don't know what stat you want to look at, they were like the 31st ranked defense in the NFL.
Horrible.
They were awful, and they got
trampled by how many games?
Exactly. So if they made the jump to where they're the 20th best defense in the NFL,
be huge. That would be me.
It would be a difference
maker. But they got a lot of guys on. They're talking up how great this defensive line is. Okay, that's what we hear.
No,
that's,
I get you.
It's great. They're talking up. Wow, we got, look at these linemen. We got Quan Alexander. We got Mosley. We got, you know, Quincy Williams. They're talking up that. They're talking up Gardner and the secondary and all the guys they brought in. Well, I want to see this defense start to give me something on defense. How about shutting some teams down? You know, I don't think this Raven team is a world-beater Raven team. I mean, who knows? Year to year, we don't know. But I don't think so.
And by the way, the Ravens did win last night. They have now 21 consecutive preseason games. I mean, how do you figure? How the hell do you figure?
Do you think that's part of one of the reasons why they've always been this one of the, I would put them definitely top 10 organizations, maybe even top 5.
Oh, yeah. Well,
right?
They have
right?
consistency.
Right.
I mean, that's what
right.
they have.
Right. They had a losing season last year. But again, we talked about 2 games they lost because Harbaugh went for 2 and they didn't get it.
Well, they also lost Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, they did. Well,
I mean, let's not forget that.
The other kid played good.
Tyler Huntley, yeah.
He did. He was good.
Who played last night.
Yeah, he was
they
good.
They have been, the Ravens are the kind of team you strive to be. Even though they've only won 2 Super Bowls in 22 years.
Only two. Yeah, but what's their record over those 22 years?
Oh, my. Dude, they're over 500 every year.
Major winning record.
Let me see. So they have finished under 500. Twice since 2008. So they've been a marvel of consistency. Really since they moved. Since, you know, the Brian Billick era into the John Harbaugh era.
I'm a Cleveland Brown fan. Boy, oh, boy.
I know. That's the franchise you lost.
What a disgrace. Between Art Modell, Ozzie Newsome, I mean, you just say.
And
oh,
I'm curious how they feel right now. So the situation with Deshaun Watson is that the NFL wants a full year suspension for him.
Right.
That's what they want.
He's got 6 weeks right now, right?
Right. It's 6 weeks. Deshaun Watson's camp went to the NFL and said, you know what? We'll agree to 8 games and $5 million. And the NFL's like, no, we want a full season. Apparently, the arbitrator that's hearing the case could decide any minute. May have already decided if we're checking Twitter, Loogie. And if they decide to make this a year-long suspension, he won't play tonight when he's scheduled to play in a preseason game. Because the suspension the NFL gave, or Judge Robinson gave,
right,
is 6 games, but he's allowed to play in the preseason,
right,
which includes
right.
tonight's game.
Right.
Like, he's going to play tonight. Unless this arbitrator, late on a Friday afternoon, decides to change it, he won't play tonight.
Wow.
But I don't know what Brown fans are thinking. Like, right now, you're probably angry and pissed off because your whole season's in doubt. And I think you're angry at the organization. You knew what you were trading
right.
for.
Well, here's the first thing you're upset with the organization. That you drafted Baker Mayfield in the first place.
Sure.
All right?
Oh, I get that.
Now, maybe they would have drafted Sam Darnold, it would have been just as bad.
Right.
You know, and you wouldn't even got a playoff run like you had that one year with Mayfield.
Right.
So, I don't know.
But should they have traded for Deshaun Watson? Like, if you were a Brown fan, what would you have done?
I wouldn't want. I love Deshaun Watson. I loved him. I wanted him for the Jets out of Clemson. I did. Okay? And he's a very good quarterback. But it's so risky. You're making him. I mean, who knows what's the deal is with this?
Well,
didn't he settle out of court with all these 22 women?
I think most of them. I think he has settled with most. But here's
very risky.
But here's the sick part about this. Short term, it's risky. Short term, he may not play this year. Assuming he stays out of trouble, and he doesn't have a bad record besides this disaster, which is a bad record in itself.
But how do I know that this is my worry, though? If this is true, and who knows what the... I don't know. None of us know what the real deal... Obviously, there's something to this.
Oh,
okay?
Yes. I think when
obviously.
35 women
come out.
Yes.
I mean, how do I know this guy's not going to do this kind of stuff again?
Okay, that's a legitimate worry.
I'd be very concerned about that. This guy's got some kind of whatever, you know, phobia, whatever it is, you know.
Oh, it ain't a phobia.
Well, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what the word would be. But he's got... I mean, because to me, and again, when I look at a guy like Deshaun Watson, and I say to myself... Why in the world does a guy like this, okay, he's an NFL quarterback, he's got tons of money, does this guy really need to stoop to this kind of thing to get women? Do you know what I mean? I mean, this is the kind. So when I look at it like that, I think maybe the guy's got a problem.
No, I understand. And look,
I'd be worried about that.
There's always the risk that Deshaun Watson gets in trouble again. But Ben Roethlisberger was accused of a horrific thing.
Right, he was.
And he served the suspension.
Right.
And then started playing, and everybody forgot about it.
Did forget about it.
And Ben Roethlisberger...
Remember, Ben also had that incident with the motorcycle, too.
Yes, yes.
He almost killed himself
on
that motorcycle.
This was a little different.
Well, but it was also a reckless situation.
It was definitely reckless.
Right.
But eventually, like 3 years after the fact, no Steeler fan thought about it, and they were happy they had Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
They were. So if Deshaun Watson is never in trouble again... And he's the guy he was in Houston 4 years from now.
Right.
The Brown fans are going to say, thank God
he traded for. One of the big differences with Roethlisberger, though, is that he was already their guy, Roethlisberger.
Right. No, I get that.
You know what I mean? This guy, they traded, you know, the deal they made, the money they're paying him. You know, that's a lot more risky situation.
It's a lot more risky. And also, I know how we feel as Jet fans to have a year in which there's doubt on who your quarterback is.
Right.
Just because, hey, well, next year it'll all be fine.
Right, right.
We'll be all fine
next
year.
We've had that for most of our life.
Well, what about this year? Like, the Cleveland Browns are in a tough division with the defending AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals. What are they going to do? They can't win with Jacoby Brissett. Are they going to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo? Is that the answer for 1 year? By the way. How about they trade for, let's say Deshaun gets a year suspension.
Right.
And the Browns say, all right, Jimmy gives us a better chance to win than Brissett. They trade for Garoppolo. They go on a run. They get to the Super Bowl. Then they let him go as a free agent. Watson comes back, and Garoppolo twice can be dumped as a Super Bowl quarterback.
Yeah.
Which has already happened now once.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I get why the Niners are doing it. They think Trey Lance has a chance to be better.
But just going back to Watson, I mean, to me, there's an issue. A guy like that. You know, there's some kind of an issue there, and I'd be a little worried this is going to happen again. I have to say that.
Well, when the Cleveland Browns traded for him, considering what they gave up and the guaranteed money they gave him,
they had
no worry. Or they were that desperate.
Well, I think it's a more desperation.
Yeah, I think it's that desperate.
And it's the kind of move that franchises like the Browns, who never win anything, okay, make.
Yes, but... There's a chance, in fact, I'd say there's a decent chance that 3 years from now, after he serves his suspension, assuming he never gets in trouble again,
we'll
look back at it and say, it's totally worth it. Yeah. You got a franchise quarterback at 26 years old.
I mean, you will say that. If they win.
If he
stays out of trouble.
And one thing about Watson, even though he hasn't played in a while, he's a top seven quarterback in the NFL.
No. He's a terrific player. There's no doubt.
He's that damn good.
Yep.
Cardin Roberts, Craig on vacation. He'll be back Monday, and then I go away for a week. Joe B. sitting in. We'll come back with some more of your calls. Yankee pregame in a little bit less than an hour.
It's Cardin and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Cardin Roberts, Craig on vacation. He returns on Monday. Joe Beningo sitting in as we take it on 6:30.
I forgot how fast these shows go.
It flies, man.
Really unbelievable.
Flies. Big blow for the Astros. Michael Brantley's done for the year.
Hit.
He had a shoulder injury. He's been nursing it on the IL for, I think it's like a month now. And it came out today. He needs surgery, and he's done. That's a huge blow to the Houston Astros.
He's a big part of their offense.
No doubt. It was always a guy that I thought the Yankees should target. Left-handed bat, good contact
you've
guy.
Said that. You know, he's a tremendous player. It's Jordan Alvarez.
Jordan? Oh, unbelievable, man.
He's like the new Willie McCovey to me.
He is.
Absolutely destroyed the Mets.
And he was an L.A. Dodger, and the Dodgers traded him to the Astros. Yeah, for Josh Fields in what was considered a minor trade at the time, yeah.
He's their best offensive player.
I know. Dodgers didn't know what they had at the time.
Wow.
And he has turned into
monster.
This beast for the Astros offensively.
Yep.
So if you're into the battle for the number one seed in the American League, which I think a lot of Yankee fans are, because I do think home field advantage for that potential ALCS matters. Yeah. That's a big blow for Houston. Brantley's not walking through that door. At least with the injuries the Yankees are dealing with, there's hope that Giancarlo Stanton's going to be back at some point, even though there's no timetable for his return, and that Matt Carpenter may come back. But Michael Brantley is not coming back, unfortunately, for them. Don is in Emerson, New Jersey. Hey, Don.
Don, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Don.
Joe, I love the Oh the Pain podcast. I look forward to it.
Thank you, Don. We didn't do one today because of me doing the show. So if anybody's looking for the podcast tonight, there's no Oh the Pain podcast tonight. I'll be back Monday.
And I'm looking forward to the Saturday show.
Yes,
Joe,
it'll be a lot of fun.
I have a question for you, and I think you left somebody out. Andrew Jones or Mickey Mantle?
Oh, I take Mickey over Andrew.
Yeah.
We're talking about as an all-around player? Oh, of course I'm taking Mickey. Of course.
But you didn't include him in your three.
Well, we're talking about defensive outfielders, though. That's why I left him out.
But you threw the hitting in there.
I don't think Mickey was terrific. I saw Mickey play a lot. I saw him from, 1961 to 64. He was still a pretty good player, right?
I thought so, too.
Obviously, the injuries hurt him. There's no doubt the injuries were a major factor in his life. And Mickey said it, if I took better care, if I knew I was going to live that long, I would have took better care of myself. Who knows? But it's a fair point about Mickey. It's fair. It is fair.
Now, the other thing for both of you is if I offered you a manager and I said he's got a 5-10 winning percentage over multiple seasons and a 390 percentage in the playoffs and never won a World Series, would you want him as your manager?
Well, you're talking about Buck.
Yeah.
Are you a Met fan?
No, I'm a Yankee fan. Okay. I love Buck.
Buck was great for you, but Buck wasn't a good manager for your team. He was good.
Joe, he didn't go home with the prom queen.
Well, he might have went home with the prom queen if they didn't, cancel the season in 1994.
To go home with the prom queen,
and let's be honest about this too. Why did Joe Torre went and won four World Series. But why did George dump this guy after that Seattle series? What really went down there?
But it's also...
Right? Am I missing something?
It's 27 years ago.
Right.
Do we think
maybe the guy learned a little bit?
Do we think Buck Showalter is the same manager he was in 1995?
And he was still a pretty good manager then.
And he was a pretty good manager. He helped turn the Yankees around. Even the Orioles, his most recent tenure, he cited the win percentage of Buck Showalter. Really going to hold that 100.
He took the Orioles to the playoffs, I think, three times.
Yeah, took him to the ALCS. I think his last year in Baltimore, they lost like 108 games.
Right.
So we're going to put that on Buck Showalter?
Look. This guy's not a Met fan. The bringing in Buck Showalter, you could make a case that he is the most valuable Met. You could make that case.
Oh, I think he's made a big difference.
There's no question about it.
But I also think that citing a manager's history is not always fair.
Yeah, because look at Joe Torre before he got to the Yankees.
He's not the same guy.
Clueless Joe.
Buck Showalter's biggest mistake he ever made in any managerial decision was not using his best reliever, Zach Britton, in the playoffs with the Orioles 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay? Made that mistake. Does anybody think that Buck Showalter won't use Edwin Diaz in a winner-take-all playoff game? That he's going to make that same mistake again? He won't.
Let me say this, too.
Because you learn from mistakes
that you make. And let me say this, too. You know Buck, okay? You know Buck wants this bad, all right? They take the season away from him in 1994 when the Yankees were on their way to winning, certainly winning the division.
They couldn't win all that year, sure.
All right? Sure. He takes the Yankees to the playoffs the next year. George dumps him. Why? I don't know. What was the reason behind that? Maybe we'll probably never know that.
He wanted to bring him back. I know that, too. Right, he got rid of him and then wanted to change his mind.
Right. Well, it was like Billy Martin. Arizona, he takes Arizona to a certain level. He goes, Arizona wins the World Series the next year, right? This guy, as far as I'm concerned, bro, this he knows it. This is the team to win.
Well, sure, and also he said he hasn't won yet. Did Bruce Bochy win right away? Bruce Bochy had to wait a long time to win.
Right, right.
In 1998, he didn't win when he was with San Diego.
Look, as good a manager as he is, Dusty Baker's never won a World Series.
Yeah, and that's a guy, not at my expense, but I'd like to see him win one, just not at my expense.
Well, no.
But Dusty's, think about how close he's come.
Yeah. And well, he's got the right team right now to win.
And some of the brutal postseason losses he's had.
Yep.
But it's really unfair to cite stuff from 27 years ago as a reason why Buck Showalter can't manage and win a championship. Like, he made mistakes. That Zach Britton mistake with the Orioles is brutal. But what I love about it as a Met fan is I know he won't make that mistake again.
No,
I know he won't.
And he knows how good this team is. I really believe this, bro. Buck is looking at this. This is my shot. This might be my last shot. Might be.
It could be. Look, I think he wants to manage for a bunch more years, but you never know if you're going to have a team
that close. I don't
know
if we're ever going to have a team this good again for a while.
Of course.
I mean, I don't know that.
You don't know that. Especially with a veteran top of the rotation, you don't know that.
Yep.
Joe in Staten Island. Joe,
how are you?
Joe and Evan. Joe, it's great to hear you on the radio.
Thank you, Joe.
You always did a great job. Joe, you enjoy your time in, Joe?
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, I just retired myself over a month ago now, so I'm enjoying myself a little bit. Take one day at a time. Joe, we were talking about with DeGrom and the signing and everything. First of all, I mean, I know Evan, I'm a Mets fan myself and all that. I mean, first of all, you don't know how. I mean, is the guy going to be healthy?
They want to give him
$50 million a year. That's ridiculous.
You can't give him a lot. Look, if they re-sign him, you can't give him a lot of years.
No, you can't.
I'm not offering him a lot of years. I'd offer him a lot of money. That's what I'd offer him. A lot of money. More money than Scherzer.
I'd
not
offer
a lot of
him
years.
Maybe 2 years.
I think Evan hit it right. 2 years and an option year.
Yeah. Right, right.
That's pretty fair.
What I would do. But, I mean, he has some nerve saying that he's going to opt out.
Why does he have some nerve? He's asked the question. It's an obvious answer. He's going to make more money. Like, think about this. If you know someone will offer you more money than you're making, wouldn't you opt out?
I'm not saying that.
What you said is he has some nerve. What's the nerve? He's asked the question. He answered it.
All right. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, today nobody wants to stay with one team.
Well, I just get the impression that there's and I didn't realize there was an issue with the front office, as John Heyman says there's an issue. I just get the impression he doesn't want to be here. Now, maybe I'm 100% wrong, and like Zevin says, money talks and you know what walks.
Sure.
You throw him enough jack and, I love it here.
I got the impression Max Scherzer didn't want to be here, and then the Mets made him the best offer.
No, me too. I never thought he'd sign with the Mets.
Right.
Never in a million years did I think Max Scherzer would be a Met.
The only thing that did occur, and I don't know if he has, a year later is still pissed about it, is the whole thing with Alderson saying he has a partial tear of the UCL.
Maybe.
And DeGrom said
that's not true.
What
it is. Maybe. I don't know.
And I could see why. He definitely looked pissed off when he was correcting Sandy Alderson, but that was a year ago.
Yeah.
Is that really going to be the reason why he says, I want to get the hell out of here?
Look, right now, let me say this. Let's go win the World Series, and we'll worry about that when the time comes.
No, I agree.
To me, that's what it is right now.
The priority is what you have now. The Mets have a lot of free agents at the end of the year, no question about it. Brandon Nimmo, Edwin Diaz, Jacob DeGrom, Chris Bassett potentially, Taijuan Walker, the entire bullpen, literally free agents. So, yeah, it's going to be a really fascinating offseason, but go win the World Series.
All the more reason to win this year.
Yes.
All the more reason.
No question. Let's go to Nick in Franklin Square. Nick,
how are you?
Hey, how are you guys? I'm a big-time Mets fan. I think Buck Showalter's got more than 1 year, and I think he's going to be on the Mets. He ain't going to be managing a bad team in year two and three. I think Uncle Steve is going to keep his players here, and he's going to try and win multiple years.
Well, hey, look, let's win this one first. But, yeah, I mean, you would think so. I mean, with Cohen as the owner now. Even if he doesn't win this year,
I think he's not leaving.
But, Evan's citing all these free agents. I mean, you don't know. You just don't know what a guy's going
to
do.
I think the Mets have a chance, Nick, to have a very good core moving forward.
Yeah.
They do have a really good, at least highly projected.
Can we make the playoffs like 3 years in a row? I never did that.
What a novel concept.
Right? Let's win the series first.
And think about it. They were never even close to doing that. Because in 2001, they were terrible until they got hot late in the season and had some opportunities, but didn't really come that close to making the playoffs.
The closest was the 80s, really.
Yeah, but they only made it one in a row.
Twice.
But they never made it back-to-back years.
But They didn't, but the thing I would say now is, look, it's a different world now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you had the wild card, they would have made it. They would have been in every year.
If I'm not mistaken,
they would have been 5 or 6 years in a row.
I think they would have made it in 84, 85, yep. 86, 87, yep. 88, 80. They may have made it.
I don't think they would have made it in 89. How many, they only won 87 in 89.
They may have.
Maybe. And the last year, 1990, they won 91 games.
Yeah.
So they would have made it maybe every, you're right, they might have made it every one of those years.
Because sometimes 87 wins is enough.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Sometimes you
they
make
won,
it.
The Cubs won the division that year, 89.
So in 1987, they would have made it.
They won 92 that
they
year?
They won 92 games. They had right. the third best record in the National
And remember,
League.
That's the year where the entire starting rotation got hurt and Doc didn't pitch until June 15th.
Yes. In 1989, they would have missed it by 2 games. Yeah. They won 87
Yeah, I didn't
games.
Think they would have made it that year.
No, I guess it depends what the format would have been. I mean, if there's three wild card teams,
well,
they would have made it.
But the just from the way it was, you know, before they even put the two wild cards playing each other.
Yes. It is crazy to think that the era of the 80s would have been so different if you had that format.
I mean, look, they won 90 games in 84. They won 98 games in 85. They didn't make it. 87, they won 92. They didn't make it. You know, 89, they won 87. 90, they won 91. I mean, you know.
You know who else it would have been different for? The New York Yankees.
Oh, the Yankees too, yeah.
The Yankees would have made it in 86.
Yeah.
They would have made it in 85.
You're right.
They had to,
the Yankees won, if I'm not mistaken, the Yankees won more games than any team in baseball in the 80s.
They did.
And didn't win anything.
They won.
They went to one World Series.
They only went to the playoffs. Well, they went to the playoffs.
81.
81. In 80, though, then
that
they
went to the World Series.
But in 1980, they won 100 games, and they missed the playoffs winning 100 games?
They won 103 that year.
And didn't make the playoffs.
No, they made it. They lost to the Royals.
Oh, in 80, right, okay.
The Royals swept them in three.
So they made
it. And then remember, George fired Dick Houser right after that.
Right.
And then Houser wound up winning the World Series with Kansas City.
So they made the playoffs twice in the 80s. But in 1985, they won 97 games and missed the playoffs.
Right.
So they had a lot of, like,
they did
really good seasons that add up to winning the most games in the 80s and not really that much to show for
nope.
it.
Nope.
So, yeah, if you had the wild card in the 80s, not only the Mets making the playoffs a lot, the Yankees are making the playoffs a lot.
Yep.
And who knows, once you get there, anything can happen.
Yeah, the Royals finally got him in 1980. They won 103 games, the Royals swept them. I could still see George Brett hitting that home run in Game 3 at the stadium off Goose.
Amazing.
To put it away. George Brett was a tremendous hitter.
How many did they win in 79, though?
Who, the Mets?
No, the Yankees. They fall off. Did they win 90 games that year?
Well, remember, 79 was the year that Thurman died.
Right.
Okay, and that was a big hit.
The Orioles obviously won it.
I think they won it pretty easily, didn't
they? They won over 100 games.
Yeah. They might have finished behind the Red Sox, too, the Yankees, that year. Did they finish third? I'm not sure.
Here it is. They finished fourth.
Okay,
but they won 89 games.
Okay.
They were 89 and 71. The Orioles won 102 games.
Right.
The Brewers won 95 games. Red Sox won 91 games.
Mm.
So,
they
would have
made it. The Thurman thing put a major crimp on, obviously, on that season.
I can imagine.
You know?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.